Good morning, everybody. Welcome. It's Sunday morning here in London, and this is Lizzie and Justin, and we are live once again for our weekly Turning Towards Life. And it's been a couple of weeks since we've done this live, Lizzie, because you and I were teaching last week, and it's very interesting to me how long it seems in my body, having got into the regular rhythm every week, when we pull a pre-recorded one out like we did last week. And I thought I was so pleased to put that one out into the world. I can feel the freshness and the newness of doing this with you again this morning. So I would say welcome to you and welcome to everyone who's listening. And thank you for the growing number of you who are joining us live, and also many people, I don't know what you do, sticking a pair of headphones in maybe and listening whilst you're out walking or sitting at home or in the car or something like that. It's such a treat to be able to share this conversation with so many people. So thank you. And thank you, Lizzie, for finding us something wonderful to talk about today.
Yeah. Welcome, everybody. Hello. And yeah, we are Third Space. And I'm Lizzie. This is Justin. We are here and willing and open to whatever this live, unrehearsed conversation wants to be today. If you are new here, you might want to know that we pick something each week, whether something maybe that I've written, that Justin's written, or that another person in the world has written who is somehow up to the same kind of inquiries as us. And this week we have Marion Woodman in our midst, who is a new discovery for me. And my sister has invited me into relationship with her through some work that she's doing at the moment. And I sit and Holly keeps laughing at me. Holly's my sister, for those of you who don't know. And she keeps laughing at me because every time I'm near this poetry book, I keep kind of dragging things up and insisting that I read them to her, just so that I have got someone else witnessing the brilliance of Marion Woodman. And this one is such a beauty because it talks about the kind of underbelly of practice, I think. So it's so hard for us to keep doing things. And I wonder, yeah, in what ways all of us are dragged towards our wholeness. But I love the inevitability of this poem. That's why I picked it. It's like, it's inevitable. And I find that really supportive. So I'm going to read and then we'll see. So most of us are dragged towards wholeness. We do not understand the breakdown of what has gone before. We do not understand. We cling to the familiar, refuse to make necessary sacrifices, refuse to give up habitual lives, resist our growth. We do not understand rebirth, do not accept the initiation rites. Most of us are dragged toward wholeness.
Thank you, Lizzie. I'm going to read it too, of course. Most of us are dragged towards wholeness. We do not understand the breakdown of what has gone before. We do not understand. We cling to the familiar, refuse to make necessary sacrifices, refuse to give up habitual lives, resist our growth. We do not understand rebirth. We do not accept the initiation rites. Most of us are dragged towards wholeness.
So I think one reason for choosing this, Justin, is that I feel really seen by it. You know, I feel like as humans, we are so, yeah, we are so powerfully attached to the way things are already. And we tell lots of stories about wanting things to be different. wanting change, wanting to transform. And I know I still find myself back in the same place again and again and again. And I feel like I've learned that subtle things are always happening. So it feels like I'm in a spiral of growth where I return to the same longitude. So it feels like the same thing, but actually there's a deepening happening. But the deepening doesn't come easily through trying. But it can come way more easily through presence, through being. And what I enjoy about this poem is that being is the piece that's written as inevitable. Like that wholeness is real, it exists. And in a way it's here in any given moment. And yet the fight we have with it, like not doing practices, like not doing the journaling that I know would serve me, like not doing the things that I know have the impact that I really desire genuinely. But there's all kinds of competing things happening that often take me away from the very path that I really wish to follow. And yet we are dragged. You know, it's the fact that we're dragged means that it's happening anyway. And I feel really supported by that. Like feeling dragged feels a bit undignified, but at least it happens. And I feel this is such a welcome to all the parts of us that we might not want to say out loud because it feels shameful to say, I can't do my practice or I can't bring myself to do the thing that I know I should be doing. And it feels really important to name that part. Otherwise, it's the piece that you can't say and therefore you can't talk about, and we can't bring it to the light to be held and unpicked and unraveled as to what is our resistance. So I feel like it's always really important to say all the times I've failed, all the times I've not done the thing that I know would serve me. And this poem speaks to that so beautifully.
Really kind, isn't it, Lizzie? That's one of the things I hear in your way of talking about this. Marion Woodman's words are deeply kind towards our resistance. And there was something you said at the beginning of your speaking, I can't remember exactly the way you said it now, that where you caught into the longing that we have and the fight we have against it. And I'm very taken that the language that she chooses, Marion Woodman chooses, is wholeness, not something else. And that wholeness is, the way I heard and felt wholeness as you were reading was, you know, when we long for that of ourselves and that of our lives that we've kept out so far, maybe because it wasn't welcome in the places in which we grew, or maybe because it's not yet been welcome in the communities and circles of people we have around us, or maybe just because it's not been welcome in us ourselves, and that to find our way to wholeness is to reclaim, to welcome back in what's so far been exiled. I'm thinking for myself how long it was, for example, before I would get on to how angry I was, and that anger really has a place. Anger matters. And her poem exactly describes the dilemmas and the difficulties in this for me, was feeling deeply that something was missing, like I was stunted and constrained, and not really knowing what it was, and only knowing, Lizzie, that being angry and other people being angry, for example, was so painful, and so awkward that I would keep it away from myself again and again and again. And that's, in a way, that's what this poem points right into, which is we don't understand when we're in some kind of difficulty that this is really the breakdown of what's gone before that's held us small, and we don't understand that we're trying to cling to the familiar, and we don't understand, this is the line that really got me, often the middle line of these, how we refuse to make sacrifices, how we refuse to let go. So we get caught in this really tricky place often in our lives where we long for something, we don't quite know what it is that we're longing for, but it feels like it might be the return of something. And at the same time we hold on, we say, I want my life to be different, and at the same time we say, and I want to remain the same. And we don't yet understand that what we're calling for to be different is not exactly our lives, although we may want all kinds of things about our lives to be different, but what we're really calling for is to let ourselves start to include what's been left out, to unfold into something broader and deeper. But at the same time, we're really, really, really resistant to how that feels, what it might entail. And it's grand language to have somebody say, that's what it is like to be a person. Not, what a terrible thing, although there is pain in this.
Yeah.
And not, what a terrible person you are because you're simultaneously longing and also resisting. But that's just humanness. And then, of course, there are things we can do when we start to see this. But it is good, I'm finding it settling and helpful to feel, so much of whatever reclaiming of my own wholeness has happened so far in my life, some of it's been purposeful and semi-skillful.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has happened because I've been dragged kicking and screaming into and through things that I was doing my best to make sure didn't happen.
Yeah, it's funny as you say that, I recognize that I have this inner mantra, which is like, if I don't do the work, the inner work, the world will make me do it. Like, I will be dragged. So I can either choose willingly to become deeper and deeper in contact with my patterns and my habits and my distortions in the way that it all plays out in the world, or the world will bring breakdowns to me, bring circumstances to me that will have me look at that anyway. So I feel like I can either go willingly or I can be dragged. And all the places where I don't even know that I could go willingly, the dragging will happen anyway. And I feel also like when you were talking, I was thinking, when have I been able to face things like the anger that I didn't want to face, or the, I'm just thinking of something that's more relevant to me than, I think anger's quite, I think I get quite cross quite a lot, in the scheme of things, like I can say that's not okay for me and everything. But I think the thing that I've been really kind of, I've struggled to see or struggled to say is probably something around, there's lots of them. I'm just thinking of one that's relevant, but something around my true motivation for the reason I do things. Like when something is so obscured that until you dig quite deep, you don't really know that that's why you were doing it. So for example, pleasing people, like not pleasing people is really, really hard. So as in not doing the thing that I know would make things okay for someone else. And I'm learning more and more about that and what set of boundaries I have habitually that make that really hard. And what I know about that is that it takes some very confronting honesty to be able to say, oh, well, actually, I thought I was doing something for you because I'm a good person, when actually I was doing all of that for me because I want to feel safe and I don't want to rock the boat and I don't want to be the cause of hurt because that would be too excruciating for me. And that's another place where, like what you said about letting go and giving up, that giving up being somebody who makes it okay for other people is really hard, because it's in the body, it's in my body. To let that go is to become aware of myself to the point where my body doesn't just do what it's always done, which is make physical moves, verbal moves, do things that keep the same pattern going again and again and again. And so it takes stopping, awareness, breakdowns where I do something and it goes the opposite way than I had intended, or somebody actually says to me, please can you stop doing that, because every time you do that it's a disingenuous, you know, somebody seeing my disingenuousness, for example, is a way that I know it's been stopped in its tracks before. And letting go of being that person is really hard, because it happens when I'm asleep almost, you know, it's like a part of my sleepfulness is just being that way. And of course, there's all kinds of reasons why that's a helpful thing in the world, to be attuned, to be aware of what would delight someone, to be aware of what would make something easier when someone's in a tricky situation. You know, that there's a lot of good in it, but the part that's not helpful is the less generous part of me, which just, I just want everything to be all right, and I want an easy life, and I want every, you know, and I can feel my power in making things all right. But many times it robs people of things, and it leaves me overextended. It robs me of things too. And so to let go of it's a really big liberation, and it's a really hard thing to let go of.
I can hear in what you're saying, Lizzie, something like when you there's a way, which of course I know that you can take care of people, that's deeply comes from your care for other people. And then you're also talking about a way that you take care of people or meet people's needs because it meets a need in you that you might not otherwise be honest about. And that when you are, the kind of wholeness that I can hear in what you're saying is when you're willing to let go of your story about who you are and why you're doing things and be more truthful, it actually opens up a much wider space, because then you can start to do things also because they matter to you, not just because they matter to other people. Like, it's like, oh, you get included, and that's part of the path to wholeness.
Yeah.
And I was thinking whilst you were speaking about how it's part of the dynamic in this poem that we're reading is that we resist seeing what we've left out about ourselves. We resist seeing what we're not yet being truthful about. We resist parts of ourselves that we feel would be unwelcome. And partly what we're resisting is, and you gave lots of examples, I think that there's a way that life keeps on acting sort of benevolently on our behalf in this.
Yeah.
In that life keeps on giving us opportunities to say, come this way, come this way. It's like, let me lure you on into your own wholeness. And it might be the horrible feeling, for example, I'm thinking about myself with feeling angry and telling people that I'm feeling that way, or speaking truthfully, as opposed to muting myself in order to fit in and be pliant and all of those kind of things. So in a way, the horrible feeling is kind of the call, like, step on in, you could say something here.
Yeah.
And the people who finally go, I don't believe you, I don't trust what you're saying because it doesn't feel real. They're like the call. And all the times that something didn't work out because I left part of myself out or didn't speak truthfully, all the times I got exhausted by overextending myself. There are signs and signals all around us all the time. And it's one of the ways that life seems to be structured, that if we'll listen and look and feel enough, we can see that our own, Marion uses the words growth and wholeness, they're calling to us all the time. So then, you hinted at this earlier, it turns out that we'll probably be dragged that way anyway, but we'll be dragged kicking and screaming, like pulled through the brambles.
Mm.
And that's one way to go. And sometimes it's the only way to go. Sometimes we don't know anything else. But when we do start to get onto something, oh, look at that. I'm not being entirely honest with myself. I'm leaving out something that feels true, or I'm doing something for a motive other than the motive that I'm prepared to admit.
Yes.
Or there's some way in which I could move or feel or express. When we start to get onto that, we do have some choices about whether to continue to resist or whether to commit ourselves purposefully to, okay, so I'm going to start to practice something. I'm going to practice being more truthful. I'm going to practice letting myself feel what I haven't felt before. I'm going to practice letting myself be contactful and intimate with other people when I haven't been that way before. I'm going to practice standing my ground. I'm going to practice having the kind of body that can extend and move and flex when I've been very contained, or I'm going to practice contain. We actually have some choice not to always be in the end of this that Marion's poem talks about. We can start to practice some kind of willingness, which is also a great relief. Oh, I could have something to do with this.
Yeah.
I don't have to have my whole life being dragged towards the thing I'm going to be dragged towards anyway.
Yeah. And I feel like on reflection, the not being draggedness has a lot to do with other people, as in the spaces I felt safe enough to admit things about myself, or maybe that's not the way to say it. It's like, because someone else is there who is compassionate and open with me, whether it's like a one-on-one thing or a group thing, I feel like it makes it easier to say what's underneath. Like the fact that a human is there with me is a way that I can deepen. I notice that being with another person is very different than just a conversation with me and myself and I in my head about myself. So the fact that you would listen to me and I could intentionally reflect on something there's a very different something that happens, a loosening that happens that wouldn't happen if I was just doing that on my own. And so when I look back and realize those kind of points that are always quite memorable to me, the kind of shock points in my life, they've been with, I mean, there were certain ones that kind of got me into the path in the first place where I was definitely on my own. But then after the opening, the initial kind of, oh God, something's got to change, I feel like seeking help and being in groups and being with people who are doing the same kind of inner work and being in a therapeutic relationship or a coaching relationship or whatever it is, those are the places where the draggedness eases. And I find my own agency, which is really different than I have to do this all myself. You know, the kind of cultural narrative of I should be able to develop myself. I should be able to have this down. I should be able to do all my practices. I should be able to be the person I want to be in the world. When I have let that identity go and asked for help and been in a relationship, which feels so terrifying to that story of I have to have this, I have to do this myself. Those are the times when I feel like it's been way more possible to drop and let go of things, because somehow the presence of another or others, I don't know, I feel like saying it's like confirmation that when I do that, I'm not outcast, because I'm capable of outcasting my own self. But mostly people who love me aren't capable of doing that, because it's like they have perspective, which is that they're not me. And they can go, oh, yeah. So, yeah, you have some shady motivations. But I see you. So that just is like a teeny part of you, rather than me thinking, oh, my God, I'm a terrible person. And I'm taking that part as my identity, which I would be more readily able to do or likely to do on my own when I'm with other people and I can admit parts of myself. Somehow it's just way more okay than if I was just alone doing that. So I just feel real gratitude for all of the spaces that have enabled me to feel safe enough to let go and to question myself way more deeply than I would have been able to do alone. So this wholeness business feels like it's both an inside job and a community job. You know, like my inner work is actually part of being in community, not just what I do with myself, the work I do on myself. It's kind of a horrible phrase, working on myself, but like my capacity for honest self-reflection has most definitely been helped and enhanced by being with people, like way significant in my life is that keeps me in contact with people.
Yeah, I'm really with you on this. You and I both know this from the coaching that we do with people who we coach and the coaching we've had from people who coach us, but also being members of communities of development, that our capacity to not cling to the familiar and let ourselves go into our own bigness, our own including what's got left out, is not really a solitary process. It's something that happens on the in-between people. And it's greatly accelerated when we're with other people, but not, I think as I was listening to you, I was thinking that the thing that really helps us is to find people who we can trust, see our goodness and see our wholeness on, are committed to our wholeness on our own behalf and won't reject us or exile us because we did something that they didn't like, but instead will hold firm to a much bigger sense of us, of ourselves. Because I can think of Lizzie times that I've been with other people where we've all been up to this kind of everyone has to be a particular way. If you make a move that's anything unlike the way you are, or I make a move unlike the way you know me, then we're all like, something terrible's happening. And it's very, very difficult to find our way to something other than what we've got stuck in when we're in those kind of relationships. And then I've probably talked about this before here in our Turning Towards Life conversation. I say, remember a time when you came to me and said, Justin, you keep on asking me to do things, and then by the time I come to do them, you've already done it. And in some circumstances, I in some relationships, I might have felt that as a great big assault on me, like, but instead what I knew that you were doing in telling me something that was true was you were pointing out to me a way that I can get into controlling things and having it my way when my deeper wish and my longing is to include, and I could feel you loving and including the part of me that wants to include, and that made it possible for me to say, oh yes, look at how I do that, and then start to keep on looking at that. And that happens because you're one of those people in my life who I can completely trust that you're on the side of the wholeness of my life. And so when you say things to me, there's a place for them, and it might be momentarily awkward or difficult to hear, but I can trust that what you're doing is being one of those calls from life into, okay, something bigger is called for here. So it does help when we can start to look out for people who might be that way. And part of the way of looking out for people being that way is also to learn to be that with other people too. You know, as we learn to welcome other people's wholeness and speak to them truthfully in the light of that, they learn to do that with us too. So it's also partly looking out for the people who can be community for us, and it's partly making community by practicing, what's the way to say this, not being co-resistors of our own growth, and not being exilers of one another or something like that.
Yeah, one way of saying it, Justin, is not to be the person you're recruiting me to being. Like, if I don't stand in the place that you are putting me in, given the story that you're telling, but try to stand in a different place, what happens between us is really different. So when I'm being pleasing, like smoothing with you, you've often said to me, no, that's absolutely fine with me to make that request, where I've gone all kind of fluffy around it and said, oh, well, it'll be all right. And, you know, is that definitely all right? And am I putting you out, or you know, that kind of thing? And you go, no, that's completely fine with me. I can feel like you're not, by not saying, actually, yeah, that's a pain in the arse, and but I'll do it anyway, don't worry. You know, by not saying who I'm imagining you to be, by not being who I'm imagining you to be, but by being somebody else, it opens up, oh, I can make a simple request. And it's not some big deal, and you're not displeased because I'm doing something slightly inconvenient, as I would language it. So I think also that's another way that we can be with people, which is really arresting, is like, oh, I don't have to be recruited here. I can be a different kind of presence than what I'm sensing is expected of me. And that feels really exciting. Like, if we could be that for each other, to not play the part that we're being recruited for, but to stand in a different space that invites something, what was the word that you just used? Bigger. We could be bigger than that, like holding the bigger space that's not just the same narrow game that we might play with each other from our habitual selves. That feels really exciting to me. And a small and significant and probably huge, actually, part of what is it to experience being whole. When the world doesn't play the game I'm trying to make it play, but plays a different game, and you go, oh, hold on a second, there's something else going on here.
When we learn that we're way bigger than we've imagined, and that the people who are close to us are way bigger than we and they have imagined, and hold out for that, instead of being letting ourselves be caught in the holding on to our own smallness. What a gift.
So this is our time to finish, and I just want to say how grateful I am, Justin, and glad to be here. I too was a bit discombobulated by not having the feeling of last week being live, and does feel like a new beginning somehow, even though we only just didn't do it for a week. So thank you all for being here, and we will be back next week, next Sunday at 9 o'clock, here on Facebook Live, and we will see you then with a source from Justin next week.
Yeah, thank you very much, everyone. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.